Okay, we are live. And Clarissa, you need, Mom sent Sophia without coming. You need to take care of Sophia, please. Okay, well then take her back until Mom's ready to come. All right. So, we are beginning tonight with the passage for the coming Lord's Day's pastoral prayer. Every Lord's Day morning in the corporate worship service, we have pastoral prayer, and we precede the pastoral prayer with a text related to prayer. This week it is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. These are the words of God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so as we come to pray tonight, as we are going to be coming to pray on the Lord's Day morning, we will be coming, of course, through our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who wears the name Holy unto the Lord. He is the one who bears the names of his people upon him as he comes into the Holy of Holies. He is the one who has made the way into the Holy of Holies for us by his blood. He is the perfectly righteous one, as we read here, tempted as we are in all points and everything, and yet without sin. And so this means two things. One, he can sympathize with us and all of the trials, all of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And two, we have a righteousness before God. We will never be in a circumstance where we do not have Jesus' righteousness to plead for us, in addition to his blood having atoned for us. And so we have his righteousness, we have his sacrifice, and most importantly, we have him himself. And who is the one who represents us? As we come before God, who is the high priest in whom and through whom we come, he is even sitting on the throne. The throne on earth, or the picture of the throne of God on earth, was the mercy seat. The Lord describes himself several times as he who dwells between the cherubim being the two angels that were on top of the lid, on top of the box that was the Ark of the Covenant. And that lid is called the mercy seat. And so Christ is both our mercy seat and the one who sits enthroned, who dwells between the cherubim. And so the one whose righteousness stands for us, whose blood atones for us, whose person is our representation and our intercession before God, is not only the mercy seat, but even the one who sits on the throne. No wonder that God's throne is called for us a throne of grace, and especially for the purpose of prayer. You remember, I hope, a couple weeks ago in the sermon on prayer as an act of public worship, as one of the elements of public worship, that Jesus Christ, the living stone, chosen and precious, upon him are built with other living stones, which are the ones who belong to him, believers, the royal priesthood of people for public worship, are all built into the house of God, a spiritual house, and of which God says, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations." And so we come to pray, we come to the throne of grace, and what do we do in prayer? We obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not just ask, but obtain. Not just seek, but find. There is, even in the praying, God's giving of the grace and the mercy that we need. And so, yes, he responds, and there's grace and mercy that is going to come later, but even right now, as we recognize our neediness, and prayer is always recognizing our neediness, there is the obtaining of mercy, there is the finding of grace, and that's what we hope to have tonight, not just to speak things to God, and he'll listen to us, and he'll do things, and we know that he is God who is pleased to work through prayer, and that that will happen. But that as I lead us, and as each of you agree in your hearts, as we are praying, he's going to be giving us grace. He's going to be giving us mercy even while we pray. What an encouragement then for us to pray tonight. And now I hope that when you hear these verses repeated on the Lord's Day morning in the service, as we're about to go into the pastoral prayer, you'll remember some of these truths that are contained in this precious scripture. So let us begin tonight with adoration. And if you are listening on sermon audio, I hope you'll be patient as we paste into the comment stream on the live broadcast on Facebook the portion where we are at. And if you want to go there, forget where it is on the website. If there's a link to the Facebook page, yes. So click over to the Facebook page, and what I'll actually do for you who are on sermon audio is we'll put the direct link to the Facebook page on the webcast page. Just a minute. Listen to this stream and see the prayer guide at Facebook. Okay, so if you click on the words at Facebook, you'll have to refresh the page if you're at the live webcast page. But you should be able to see it now. If you click on the words at Facebook, you can have the comment stream as well by using the Facebook stream. Okay, so we start tonight with prayers of adoration this week as we are working our way through the different sections in Henry's method for prayer. We come to adore God, especially expressing the sense that we have of our own meanness and unworthiness to draw near to God and to speak to him. So let us begin together. But will God indeed dwell with mankind on the earth, that God whom heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain, with man, that maggot, and the son of man, that worm? Our Father in heaven, we are amazed indeed that you would come and have fellowship with us, that you would give us not only the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and your love, O God, but the fellowship of your Holy Spirit, that when we count all things as rubbish, count anything that might have been gained to us as loss, and count all things as loss that we might gain Christ, you have granted to us that we, by faith, would be found in him, and that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. O Lord, it is wonderful that you would make one of your creatures into your own image, which you did for us. You made us from the dust of the ground, but you yourself breathed life into Adam, and you made the woman from Adam's rib, and you are the father of our spirits, and you are the one from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess, Lord, that although your generosity was so great to us to make us in your image, we sinned in our first father, Adam. We sinned in him, and we fell with him in his first transgression, so that the wages of sin being death, the transgressing of your covenant in the garden, having as its proper curse that in the day that we should eat of it, we would surely die. Indeed, we died with him. Sin came into the world through one man, and all of us died, for all of us sinned in him. So you are righteous and just to pronounce the curse. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so we confess with Job that we are but worms indeed, O God. Apart from your grace, apart from the sacrifice of Christ and the righteousness of Christ and your salvation in him, O Lord, we deserve to be consumed by the worms, that we might be returned to the dust. And so we are lower than a worm. And yet, O God, in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, to take upon himself our injured flesh, so that he was made like us in every way, except without sin. How great is your love for us, O God, that you were willing to give your only begotten Son, that the ones believing in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You demonstrate your own love for us, and this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was for your enemies that you gave us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only him, but you gave us yourself in him. For when we believe in him, he and you, Father, come, and you make your home with us, and you dwell with us. And one of the last great statements of your word, one of the last great statements at the judgment, when you have destroyed and defeated all enemies, and you have brought us into the everlasting age of the new heavens and the new earth, one of the last great statements will be, the dwelling place of God is with men. And so we thank you and praise you, our God, that you have granted unto us in these times of prayer, in these times of the fellowship of your Spirit, in these times of joining our voice with the intercession of Christ, and having your Spirit, the Spirit of your Son, whom you have sent forth into our hearts, make our own hearts and our own mouths to say, Abba, Father. We praise you and adore you that you are giving us a taste of heaven, to be gathered to you, our Father, in the Lord Jesus, the Son, by the help of your Spirit and in fellowship with your Spirit. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what a wonderful thing is prayer that you have given us, that we might worship you by coming and humbling ourselves and recognizing you to be God and we to be your creatures, you to be our Savior, and we to be your saints who have been set apart for this purpose. And so you are glorified as Lord God, the Creator, the Lord God of Providence, the Sovereign Ruler over all things, who works all things according to the counsel of your will, and the Lord God, our Redeemer, Jehovah, Yahweh, our righteousness, and the one who hears prayer so that praise waits for you in Zion among your people. For you have granted to us access to yourself in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this privilege. And we come not in the trembling of servile fear of a focus on ourselves and our unworthiness, which is great, but we come in the joy and the wonder of being able to come boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ, our sacrifice and our priest. We come in wonder at your compassion, at your patience, at your long-suffering, at your forgiveness, at your mercy, at your steadfast love and faithfulness, that you, the God of heaven, would stoop down. We come as the psalmist saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" But indeed, you are mindful of him. You are mindful of us who are gathered here this evening, who are agreeing in prayer before you this evening. For your Spirit has put into our mouths over and over again in your word that you would hear our voice, that you would listen to our cry, that you would listen to the sound of our voice, that you would hear our prayers. Lord, it was said of one day when the prophet cried out and you stopped time for the sake of your people, that there was never such a day as that when the living God listened to the voice of a man. But, O Lord, today is a day like that now. For there is a man seated on the throne of heaven who is our priest, the Lord Jesus. And now there are men, girls and boys and women and men in the Lord Jesus Christ calling upon you and you listening to each one of us. And so we pray that you would receive that praise that the nations were to give you for the place that you gave Israel when they cried out, what nation is like this that has a God so near to it? Indeed, you are glorified, our God, not only by your infinite transcendence, that heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you, but also by your merciful immanence, that you have drawn near to us in Jesus Christ, and you have drawn us near to yourself, reconciling us to you in him and through his blood, having made peace for us by his cross. And so particularly tonight, as we are agreeing together, we praise you for that peace that you have made for us with yourself and also with one another. And we ask that you would be glorified as we pray to you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So next we come to our time of confession, in which we confess our sins and complain of ourselves. We ask God for the forgiveness of sins, humbly professing repentance and lamenting this week the corruption of the whole man, lamenting and confessing our omission of duty. That's the specific focus of our confession of sin tonight. Those things that the Lord commands us to do, that we know in our hearts that we ought to do, that the Spirit reminds us from the Word to do, and yet still we don't do it. So confessing our omission of duty, our neglect of it, and trifling in it, which means even when we do it half-heartedly. We do it with mixed motives. We do it with sin mixed in it. And that we have done so little since we came into the world of the great work that we were sent into the world about. So very little to answer the end of our creation or of our redemption. We're created for God's glory and redeemed for God's glory, of our birth and of our baptism, and that we have not profited more by the means of grace. And so we'll begin in unison, confessing our sin from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, and Psalm 90, verse 9. Let's begin together. Our childhood and the prime of life were fleeting, and we have finished our years like a sigh. Oh Lord, we thank you for the honesty of your word about us, for not only does our flesh push down on your knowledge, and we thank you for the new nature that you give us in Christ, so that being crucified Christ, it would not be crucified with Christ, it would no longer be us who live, but Christ who lives in us, and that the life that we now live, we would live by faith in the Lord Jesus, your Son, our God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so we thank you that your Spirit, the Spirit of your Son, whom you have sent into our hearts, lusts against his desires or against the flesh, even as the desires of the flesh of our remaining sin are against the Spirit. And yet, O Lord, we push down on your knowledge to the extent that our flesh strives within us. And we also push down on knowing ourselves well. Our hearts are deceitful above all things. They are tracked over. They are unknowable. We try to untangle the mess of our thoughts and our feelings and our desires and our motivations, and we find ourselves unknowable. And to the extent that we do know ourselves, we find ourselves unfixable. For our hearts are not only deceitful above all things, but desperately wicked. The sin that we see, we are powerless apart from Christ, apart from your grace. We are powerless to kill that sin, to fight that sin. And so we thank you for Christ and his death, so that we are crucified to our sin, and able to crucify our sin, and his resurrection, that we are able, by his grace in him, to walk in newness of life. And yet, Lord, knowing that this is true from your word, we are all the more humiliated, because we, whom you have united to Christ, we whom you have saved by grace, we who are not under the law and its condemnation, but under your grace and its life and its power to fight against sin and to keep your law, we for whom you have done all this, yet, Lord, we sin so much. We know much of your word. We don't know it like we ought. And we pray that you would give more light and give more help. But, O Lord, don't only give our minds light in order to know what your word says we ought to do, because there are everything that we know from your word that we ought to do. Either we fail to do it or we do it poorly. Have mercy, O God. Keep on doing the renovation work in which you have renewed our wills. And we pray that you would stir up our affections towards Jesus, that you would make us see your love for us in him, that we might love you because he first loved us. For you say that if we love you, we will keep your commandments. And so that makes us, Lord, it makes us shrink and tremble at the greatness of our wickedness, how unthankful we are, because when we don't keep your law, if we trace it back, that means that we don't love you like we ought. And when we trace it back further, Lord, it means that we don't appreciate your love as we ought to appreciate it. For if we did, we would love you, and then we would obey you. And so have mercy, we pray. We are so thankful that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with you, speaks better than the blood of Abel. For indeed, our sins go over our head, and we are undone, and we could not lift our eyes to heaven because of our guilt. But you have given us something greater than our guilt, your grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that where our sin abounds, your grace abounds all the more, and we cling to your grace in Christ. We cling to Christ himself. We cling to his cross and his shed blood to put away our failure to do that which you have given us to do. And we pray that you would hear us tonight, and that you would not only grant us forgiveness but confidence that we are forgiven, that you would grant to us not only to continue that sanctifying work which you are the one who have begun in us, and we are confident that you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Grant to us that confidence, and not just the continuation of the work itself. We thank you, Lord, that you never omit to do what you have planned to do from before the world began, that you are working all things according to the counsel of your will. Because, Lord, if it depended upon us in an ultimate sense, then no good could ever be done. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give us the privilege of being means by which you work, that we would have not just fellowship with Christ in his righteousness and his sacrifice for us, that we would have fellowship in his sufferings, that you would grant to us to submit cheerfully under whatever you give us to do. Oh, we confess, Lord, the trouble that we are going through right now, we have not been cheerful under it. We have had a hard time, whether it is because of the danger and fear of being taken ill, or being one by whom others end up being taken ill or even dying, or whether it is because of the response of the magistrate, the government that you have set over us, that is a minister of Christ, and who must answer to our Lord Jesus. And yet, O Lord, our hearts are so quick to groan and grumble under the trial of the loss of liberty and freedom, the foolish and wasteful way that the money that is taken from the people is spent, the oppressive way in which we are kept from laboring, from our food, and from obtaining the things of this world, that we might serve you and serve others in them. And we see all this, Lord, and rather than crying out to you with confidence in your vengeance and resting upon you in humility, like the weaned child who doesn't meddle in matters too high for him, but trusts your goodness in the midst of it. Oh Lord, that's not how we have responded. We have not responded like our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the midst of his suffering opened not his mouth, but entrusted himself to you who judge justly. And so we have revealed that we don't know how to suffer, that we don't know how to trust you, that we don't treasure having fellowship with him in his sufferings. You have given us your own Son, but his fellowship has not been sweet to us. Indeed, our hearts have grumbled when we have been offered to have fellowship in his suffering. And we confess even that we have shrunk from death, a death that would be conformed to his, a death by which you would do us that ultimate and final good, a death that you would use for the honor of your name, granting to us to die well so that Christ would be glorified by the faith of his saints, and that you might use in so many different ways we know not. And yet you know, and we know that it will be good when it comes time for us to fall asleep in Jesus. And yet we have been anxious and fearful. Oh Lord, we have wasted in our anxiety much opportunity for repentance, much opportunity to ask, why would the Lord bring this? What am I doing that I ought not to be doing? What ought I be doing that I am not? What is remaining of that holiness that the Lord is working in me? All of these questions we might be asking and pursuing, and yet we have been preoccupied with so many other things. We are arrogant as a nation, coming up with things that we think can turn back the hand of your judgment, not just using the providential means at our disposal, but failing to recognize at all that all things are in your hand, that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is from the Lord. And we are arrogant in the church, not crying out, not seeing that what has come upon many congregations is like unto what was threatened against the churches in the opening chapters of Revelation. Not asking, why would the Lord bring this upon us? Are we valuing the assembly as we should? Are we conducting ourselves in the assembly only according to the word of God and not according to the words of men? Are we tolerating sinfulness and failing to practice discipline? Are we satisfied with ourselves and not desiring to grow in holiness, not desiring to see the community around us hear the gospel and converted so that Christ would be glorified and his love to the souls of sinners would be vindicated and displayed as he saves them? Lord, we are barely a church at all by comparison to what you say we ought to be in your word, and yet our response has been largely on the side of figuring out how to mitigate technical difficulties. Oh, forgive us, for there has been precious little of the tears and cries and questions of humiliation and repentance before you, and yet you have been patient. And what you have brought on us is small by comparison to what you might. And we ask, O God, in wrath remember mercy. To us does belong shame and confusion of face, but O God, to you belongs forgiveness and compassion, goodness and mercy, steadfast love and faithfulness. And we pray, O God, that you would grant to us as individuals and to each of our households and to our community and our state and our nation and to this particular congregation and to our presbytery and to our synod and to all of your churches everywhere, grant to us repentance, revival, a time of refreshing where love to Christ is stirred up and inflamed, and obedience and the desire to know his will in every particular detail, like a bride enraptured with love for her husband and wanting to know exactly what he wants and how he wants it. Grant reformation and revival. Oh, forgive us, we pray, O God, for we cannot begin to scratch the surface of our duties, of our sins of omission of duty before you. And we thank you that you hear us. And we have confidence that you do, because we offer all of this through Christ. In whose name we ask it. So we come now to our time of petition. It's different from the time of intercession, which we'll come to in a little while. We come to our time of petition, which is asking God for the things that we need. And then when we come to our time of intercession, we'll be praying on behalf of others. So we go from adoring God to confession of sin, because memory of who he is reminds us of who we are. And having confessed our sin, we ask him to supply that which is lacking in us. Then we give thanks because he supplies everything. And then finally we intercede for others. So this week, as we ask God for what we need, our particular focus is that we may be at peace with God and that his anger may be turned away from us. And we will be making our petition especially formed by Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So let us begin together in unison. Having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him let us obtain our introduction into that grace in which believers stand, and exult in the hope of the glory of God. O Lord our God, there are many things of which we stand in need. Indeed, as we were confessing our sin, we pleaded with you to grant unto us repentance. But it is not merely the repentance that we need, but the acceptance of it for Jesus' sake. It is not merely repentance and faith that we need, but Jesus himself and that peace with you that we have through him. And so we thank you that you have made us right with you through faith in Jesus Christ. And we ask that having been justified by faith, we might have peace with you. We ask that we might know ourselves to be your adopted children. We thank you that you have given us in our hearts that liberty to call upon you as our Father. But, O Lord, we need the continued working of your grace now, that as beloved children we might live lives that are holy and blameless, that we might walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which we have been called, that you would continue that work of pressing us into the shape that is conforming us to the image of Christ as we look forward to that day when he will be the firstborn among many brethren, and those whom you justified, you will have glorified. And so we ask this evening that we might have that peace with you in which we know that you are for us, and therefore, who can be against us? Oh Lord, we know that our own flesh is against us, and there are many who conduct themselves as our enemies that we know of. Even more, we know that there are evil spirits, devils, and even the devil himself who is against us. And yet, what is the world and the flesh and the devil all taken together? Should they muster their combined forces all at once and attack at just one point? What is that against you? If you are for us, O God, who can be against us? And we thank you that you have granted up to us to see that if you are against us, who could be for us? And you have brought us to yourself in the Lord Jesus. And you have humbled us, broken our stubborn wills, that we would quit living for self or even trying to atone for self, but that we would count whatever was gained as loss and count all things lost, that we might be found in Christ and have in Him a righteousness that is from You, our God, through faith in Him, because we have no righteousness of our own that is from the law. And so we do now have You for us. We pray, O God, that You would give us not only that peace that is our alliance, that peace that is our adoption, that peace that is to have You for us, but we pray that You would give us that peace of heart, that peace of Yours that passes all understanding, that experiential knowing that You are for us, that intellectual knowledge, emotional knowledge, that having that knowledge even with our wills, to have Your peace rule our hearts, act as arbiter, decide what we will desire, what we will not desire, how we will be motivated, how we will not be motivated, what we will feel, what we will not feel. O Lord, grant to us the hope of Your glory, the hope of Your joy, that our experience of peace with You would make us stable, that we would say, God is in Zion. We will not be afraid, even though the earth be removed, even though mountains be tossed into the sea. Grant to us that when we are afraid, we will trust in You, in You whose word we praise. In You we trust, O our God. What can man do to us or devils? And indeed, we know that it is You who uphold all things by the word of Your power. And so grant to us that peace in Christ, where we are unshakable and immovable, because we know that underneath are the everlasting arms. We know that as our days, so shall our strength be. We know that You are with us, and that whether water or fire or plague or war, that You will not allow anything to touch us except for our good. O Lord, how great is the peace of those who know that they belong to You in Jesus Christ. Give us that peace, we pray. And so we do ask for the work of Your Holy Spirit to strengthen us with divine power, so that we may even be able to start to understand what is the hope of our calling, or so that we might be able to start to understand what is the height and width and length and depth of Your love in Christ Jesus. And so we do pray for peace. We ask, Lord, that You would grant peace in our homes, that we would be undistracted either by the cares of this world or by their pleasures, Lord. We know from Your word that these are the things that choke out the effectiveness of Your word. And we pray that we might be like the Thessalonians, who receive Your words not as the words of men, but as the word of God, which works effectively in us. And so grant, O God, by Your peace, that Your word would work effectively in us, that our hearts would be good soil, that the cares of this world would not be able to choke out what You say, because we're not worried about them, and that the pleasures of this world would not be able to choke out what You say, because You have made us to have our pleasure in You and our peace in You. And so the good things that we enjoy you in them. And apart from enjoying you, what claim could they have upon us? But, oh Lord, this is not how our hearts and minds have been functioning. So we pray that by your almighty power, you would work in our hearts to produce the mind of Christ. That even should we be hungry from 40 days fasting and literally under the attack of the devil himself, we might be content because we have you and your fellowship and every word that proceeds from your mouth and the opportunity to worship you and the certainty that you keep your word in your way at your time. So grant that your peace would rule in our hearts. Grant that your peace would rule in our houses. Grant that your peace would rule at Hopewell. Oh Lord, one of the greatest dangers at this time and in this season would be that in the many anxieties we would lash out at one another or we would become hard-hearted towards one another. That we would fail to extend grace and forgiveness. That we would forget the warning that if we forgive not, we shall not be forgiven. Oh Lord, we know that this will pass. That even if there's lasting economic devastation, that there will be a new normal and we'll hardly remember. But if what comes out of this ends up being deep and lasting fractures and fissures in your church, oh, that will be the great tragedy. And so grant that your peace would rule even here, that our glorifying you and knowing you would be undamaged, that we might be united not only in love for you and for one another, but that the word of the gospel, which works effectively in us, might then go out from among us and be blessed by you to the glory of Christ and the strengthening and multiplying of the congregations of this church in this place, in this area. Grant to us what we ask, O God, for Christ is worthy of it. And we know that you are a good Father who, when your children ask for good things, you know how to give it to them. And so we trust you that you know how to give it to us. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to our time of thanksgiving. We went through several weeks thanking God for his work in the life of Christ, and then we shifted to the giving of his Spirit, the giving of his Scripture, the giving of his ordinances. And this week, as a culmination of those things, we come thanking God especially for the planting of the Christian religion in the world, the setting up of the gospel church, that is, recognizing that he has one church throughout the ages, and yet the New Testament or the New Covenant church is a church that is in the wake of Christ having come, in the age of the gospel going forth to all the nations, in the age of the Spirit being the Spirit of his Son and indwelling us. So the setting up of the gospel church, in spite of all the opposition of the powers of darkness. So let's begin our time of thanksgiving together. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. And the exalted Redeemer rode forth with his bow and with his crown, conquering and to conquer. And nations were brought forth all at once. O Lord our God, how we thank you for every word that you spoke about the life and righteousness and death and resurrection and ascension and reigning of our Lord Jesus Christ have come true. And even now your words about the gathering in of the nations and you building your church and the gates of hell not prevailing against it are continuing to come true. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your enemies are being made a footstool for your feet. We thank you that you have all authority in heaven and on earth. We thank you that you have chosen to exercise that authority into making us into your disciples, that you have set us apart to yourself and called us saints, holy ones, set apart to you, that you have marked us in baptism as those who are set apart to you, that you give us yourself, your life to be in us, your fellowship to be with us, that you give us a sharing in your body and a sharing in your blood, in the bread that we eat and the cup that we drink at your supper when we come together with your church for your supper. We thank you that we who eat your flesh and drink your blood, we who look to you and trust in you and believe in you, that you make us to abide in you, that you come and dwell in us. And we thank you that although we have no life in us, you have all life in yourself, that you are the vine and we are the branches. We thank you that you give your resurrection power to be our spiritual resurrection power by which we walk in newness of life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have been pleased to use us, each of us, to build one another up in every congregation of your church, that whatever part you give every member of the body, you are the one who have arranged the members of the body as pleases you. We thank you that we are all not all eyes or ears or noses. We thank you that we have no right to say that we are not of the body. We thank you that no one else has a right to say that we are not of the body. We thank you that when you ascended on high and led captivity captive, that you gave gifts among men. We thank you for the apostles and prophets and evangelists, through whom those words that you had promised came, that much that you had remaining to say, and that you sent your Spirit to tell the things that remained. We thank you for their ministries and for the keeping and preserving of your word pure and entire throughout the ages. We thank you for the providential work of those whom you sent, that your word might not only be copied and kept, but also translated so that we may have it in our own tongue, so that worship may be offered in an own tongue with understanding, so that we may understand what is prayed and what is sung and what is read and what is preached, so that your word which you speak from heaven and attend by your Spirit might be mixed with faith, that we would believe that which we do not see, that we would be sure of that which is not yet, because you have spoken it to us and you have given us faith. We thank you that you have given us not only apostles and prophets and evangelists, but also pastor teachers, that you have given us shepherds who are under you and over us, who rule us and oversee us and instruct us and hold us accountable and rebuke us and correct us and discipline us, who are examples to us, the outcome of whose faith we know and are to follow. We thank you that you save them by grace, atone for them by blood, join them to Christ, so that they may walk in newness of life. And we pray for them that they would. We thank you that you have given this ministry in order that we would not be continuously tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or wave of doctrine. Oh Lord, you know our tendency to be taken up by one or another thing and new idea. We thank you that you grant to us the stability of a faithful teaching ministry from shepherd teachers. Oh Lord, have mercy, we pray, and continue to bless that ministry to us. Because, Lord, you have granted to each of the joints of the body to supply something, each of the members of the body to have a share, so that each would be edifying to all the others, and that all would be built up into the head, who is Christ. We thank you that you have done this, and we thank you that you have made us light and salt. And that as the light goes forth, you grant the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you for giving us opportunities. We thank you for the attending of your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would make us to listen. We thank you for the effect that the gospel has as nations are more and more saturated with believers. Oh Lord, that has not been, that's something that has receded in recent times, so that your church languishes and the nation suffers. But we thank you for the extent to which you continue to maintain light in this land, and the privilege that you have given us to be light and salt. And Lord, grant to us to see our privilege and not to shrink from our duty. We thank you for when we are granted to suffer for your name, to have that blessedness of those who are persecuted and reviled for your name's sake. We thank you, Lord, for the faithful witness of many who are so persecuted, whether churches like the Early Rain Covenant Church or Nigerian Christians who continue to gather in the face of the horrific onslaught of slaughter. We thank you, Lord, that you have granted to us to live in the gospel age and to be able to look back on 2,000 years of your amazing faithfulness and power. We thank you most of all that you have granted us to know Christ. And we pray that you would cause us to remember these things with greater regularity, that we might have thankful hearts and offer you lives of thanksgiving, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to our time of intercession. We have been for many weeks praying for the nation. Even before any of the COVID stuff started, we just have a rotation that is guided by Henry's method for prayer. Nothing particularly magical about the book. Rather, it's methodical. It's a good way of making sure that we get through all of the different emphases for prayer in Scripture, which is what the book is built on. But in God's providence, doing so has had us in this extended season of praying for our own land. And this week, as we pray for our own land, we pray for the success of all endeavors for the reformation of behavior. We pray for the suppression of vice and profaneness, the support of religion and virtue, and the bringing of them, that is religion and virtue, into reputation. So we're going to begin together in unison from Psalm 107, verse 42, and 106, verse 30. Let's begin together. Let all unrighteousness shut its mouth, and let the infection of that plague be stayed by executing judgment. Pray. Oh Lord, you teach us to pray at this end of Psalm 9 that the nations would know that we are merely men. And there has not perhaps been a time in history where we have been more arrogant, thought of ourselves as gods, thought of ourselves as being able to conquer anything. We come to you tonight in a season in the life of our nation in which you have been gentle, and even in the last couple of days, as man's predictive models, which ought to humiliate us because of how greatly they fluctuate, how little we understand, and how inaccurate and imprecise even our projections are based on what we understand. And yet, even these models have reminded us that you are being gentler with us than you might have been. And we look back at other times of plague or war, drought, devastation, physical, medical, economical, military. And we know that you could wipe us all out. But our nation doesn't seem to know that, Lord. Truly, we are a nation of fools who have said in our hearts that there is no God. And so we pray, O God, that you would grant reformation and revival. Pray that you would wake up the churches, churches that have mistaken a lack of passion and creativity for public worship, mistaken it for submission to the government, for keeping your law. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant to your church that she would instruct her members to submit to the government authorities in the state. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant such a reformation and revival, acknowledgement of Christ in the seats of authority, that we would have government that commands its citizens to submit to the authority of Christ under the elders of the church, under the scriptures, and Lord, even asking such a thing sounds so odd in our 21st century American ears, where Christ has been put out of the White House and put out of the governorships and put out of the county seats and put out of the city halls. Have mercy, O God. Grant to us repentance. Lord, we are suffering from theft and covetousness as a nation. Whether those who use their power and authority and wealth to manipulate and increase power and authority and wealth in illegitimate ways, or whether those who are partial to the poor, which your word also prohibits. And so because we disobey your law, we have created a time of enmity and division and hostility and greed that has been unrivaled, at least in the history of this country. So we pray for your mercy. We have thrown off all knowledge of you. We have refused to acknowledge you as creator, to glorify you and to worship you. We have, as a nation, worshiped the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So you are just when you judge, and you are just and righteous to give us over to a depraved mind, to give us over to all manner of perversion. And, O Lord, not only that we are given over to it, but that we have forgotten even how to be ashamed of it. And we've gotten to a place where the enemies of Christ, the enemies of His gospel, the enemies of His law, demand not only permissiveness to indulge their rebellion, but celebration, and are determined that every last one who fails to celebrate their wickedness would be punished and eradicated. But what is their power against You, O God? Would You not instead have mercy and eradicate the wickedness and eradicate the perversion and grant to men to rejoice in that which is good, to recognize You as God, to glorify You and give You thanks, to worship You, the Creator, through Jesus Christ, in whom You have ultimately revealed Yourself according to every word of Scripture, which is able to equip us for every good work. O Lord, that this would be a time when we come some years hence to write the histories that we say Christ had almost departed, the glory had almost departed. God had almost forsaken this land, and the churches were left desolate, were almost left desolate to themselves. But the Lord remembered wrath and mercy. O God, grant that when the history of this time is written, it would be written that you remembered mercy. In wrath, You remembered mercy. And the glory returned, and the churches were purified, and the gospel was preached, and Your law was delighted in, and Your worship was cleansed, and all of the things that men had brought into Your sanctuary were carried out and destroyed. And the text of what You said You wanted was rediscovered. And we repented, and grant that we would humiliate ourselves before You, and that no amount of tradition or long-standingness of whatever has been invented by man would be preserved. That it would not be like it was written of many of the revivals of various faithful kings, that they did so far, but they stopped. And this or that corruption of Your worship was left. Lord, get rid of it all, we pray. For we desire not to have ourselves or our pleasures, but You Yourself, and only You can give us Yourself. So we pray not only for reformation and revival in the land, but we pray for it in the only way, Lord, that it can come, by reformation and revival in Your church. And Lord, how can the reformation and revival in Your church come if it doesn't come to each home and to each heart? So that Your people tear not their garments, but their hearts, and they come and they bring words. And we're able to say, because You turn our hearts back to Yourself, and You turn our minds back to Yourself, that we almost became not a people, but we are again the children of the living God, that we almost became them who knew no mercy. But that You showed mercy and turned us back to Yourself. Lord, we pray for the united prayer meetings of the Reformed Presbyterian Alliance around the world tomorrow, that You would stir up hearts and form minds, that You would especially help the pastors who are leading each hour, and that Your Spirit would would work and stir up mighty prayer all over the world that is according to your word. We pray, Lord, for the praying of your people in the ARP at 9 central every day, that you might do the same for us. We pray that you would stir it up in other branches of your church that are farther from us, even those who are mired in the observance of man-made holy days and man-made seasons. Lord, strip everything that is man-made away. Come with power. Rend the heavens and come down. And purify your church. And grant to them to fall on their faces and cry out glory. Grant to us, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, in all of your churches, such a knowledge of you and experience of you in Christ, that the trappings that have arisen, whether from old traditions or new traditions, would be burned away, and you would restore us to the simple and pure worship of the gospel that you ushered in the gospel age. Lord, we have many requests before us. We begin with those that are new this week. The one we heard about last Wednesday, this Valerie, and we don't know how she's doing. We haven't heard, but oh Lord, you know. We pray that you would uphold her parents, Joe and Lauren, strengthen them and their faith in you, that you would get much glory for Christ and move much glory to many. That this dear little girl, if she departs this world soon, as they are expecting, might have a reception in heaven. That brings you much honor, because not only of what you have done in her and made her to be unto yourself by your blood, but also what you have done through her. And so we pray that the circumstance would bring you honor. We thank you and praise you for bringing Charlotte and you both home to Jordan and Atlanta. Lord, we pray that you would bless that family. Fill that house with your knowledge. Cause your worship to be that which punctuates every day in their home. We pray that you would grant to each of those children to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. That the boys would be mighty warriors. First of all, warriors over their own spirits, stronger than those who are able to take a city, but also strong in everything they do in the earth. That the daughters would be like corner pillars in Israel for structure and for beauty. Indeed, we pray for all of the children of our congregation and grandchildren and the extended families of our congregation, that you would be raising up a generation of saints, like some of those few select generations in certain times and certain places where you caused them to remember the Creator in the days of their youth, and you caused them to seek the Lord early, where you produced that early faith in many, in multitudes of the children, and they put off the pleasures of this world and the cares of this world and gave full, hot, burning lives for Christ from their early days. Oh Lord, grant that that would be what you are doing in our day, in our children. Help, we pray, the fathers and mothers, many of us, Lord, having come from no Christianity at all, or sometimes even more greater hindrance, having come from a Christianity light background or a Christianity legalistic background, in which either there was a set of rules, and as long as we kept those, we felt good about ourselves, or there were no rules at all, and it was all just about feeling good in Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you for having brought us to a better place from the many different backgrounds from which we have come. We pray, Lord, that you would help us now. For many of us feel like we're reinventing the wheel when we come to try and disciple these little ones that you have put in our homes. But we long for you to do a great work in them, and so we come trembling, asking that you would be willing to do that work through us and that you would help us. For we are utterly helpless in ourselves. Lord, we pray for the Rowden family that you would be near them as they grieve, that you would comfort them in Christ. Lord, we ask for those who are ministering in connection with this church. We pray for the Holmeses in France. Haven't heard from them in a while, and COVID has been bad there. Oh, Lord, have mercy on them and be pleased to use them to do a remarkable work in the gospel of Christ and build your church there. Pray for Alan McClellan and his ministry at Fort Rucker. We pray, Lord, this month for our presbytery in general, but especially for Madison Monrovia, that you would grant repentance and reformation and revival. Lord, we thank you for strengthening Valerie. We pray that it might continue. Pray that you would protect her as she is particularly vulnerable to the virus that's going around. We pray that you would provide for Dawn and her and Stephanie, all of their financial needs, all of their spiritual needs, everything that they need. Lord, we pray for the Josiah and Mary and for little boy Bentley that you have brought into their home for a time. And we pray, Lord, that not only you would be willing to bless their time with him, but even that they might have opportunity to adopt him. Grant that he would thrive. We pray for wisdom and grace for them and for the girls, that as the dynamics of their household change now, it might be a change in which they know the love of Christ more and have more opportunity to love Christ and how they serve him in their home with one another. Lord, there are many on our list who are friends or family or acquaintances of those in our congregation who are outside of Christ, without hope and without you in the world. Have mercy and make today a day of salvation for them, we pray. There are many who are ill or injured. Think especially of Charlie's sister, Ginger, and the many others whom we don't have time to name by name. We pray, Lord, that you would do much good through each of these illnesses, that those who need repentance would be granted repentance, that you would bring Christ glory by the work that you do in these situations, that you would uphold them, that you would comfort them in the midst of their illnesses and injuries, that you would heal them, that you would make them to rejoice in looking forward to that final and complete healing that comes in the resurrection. Lord, there are so many others. There are so many others that are on this list. We've run out of time again. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us for intercession. Help us, Lord, to take that privilege more often, that this would not be the only time in our weeks that we are counting it an honor to be conformed to Christ in this way, that we come to you on behalf of others. And so we thank you and praise you, even as we offer all of these requests on behalf of others. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to conclude this evening. We conclude this week especially commending ourselves to the conduct, protection, and government of God's divine grace. In the further services that lie before us, and in the whole course of our lives, knowing that even as we have come tonight and we are obtaining mercy and finding grace now, yet we must commit ourselves entirely into the Lord's care and entirely unto the Lord's glory in the rest of our lives. So let us finish together. And now may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his ordinances. And let our hearts be wholly devoted to the Lord our God all our days, and continue so until the end, that then we may enter into rest, and may rise again for our allotted portion. And let it be a blessed portion at the end of the days. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and